then we allow them because initially we're supposed to meet on the 19th, but due to the reasons that I've identified, mentioned, we have failed. So that is why we've tried to convene this meeting today. Initially we said that 8:30, but they were in Pretoria, then we realized that we would delay a little bit. Then we try to accommodate each and every member because there are other, you know, political activities, especially on Thursday. That is why we decided on this time, which I think we'll try by all means to make sure that we deal with the red line of the commission and also the APP. So members should expect that although we sit on Wednesday, but we've got the right to change if circumstances want us to do so. If you are a leader, you must lead. Therefore, without the waste of time, members, I think you will understand why I was sitting to today. I will just give this opportunity to the Chief Land Commissioner. But before the presentation, I think we appreciate the work that was done, the unveiling of the mobile lodgement office. Indicate progress, really, that we're not sitting here just to play cards, but we mean business, so hoping that those mobile lodgement offices, as there is a program that is in place, they will stick to that program, and also the printers will be able to make the prior visit to those areas where the office will go to make the people aware what it is that will be needed, who qualifies to lodge, what documents are needed, when is the office going to be in that area, because I read one of the documents that one office will move in two provinces. So I think we hope and believe that it will really assist, especially the rural people, to get the services nearer to them. And also as members, this is our responsibility. We hope that the program will be circulated even to the committee for members to monitor whether the mobile is available on the specific date, because once you change the date, then it messes everything. So we must stick to the date, make sure that we go to those areas on the specific date. Then we use radio stations, newspapers, you know, local municipalities to communicate the message, so that when the mobile office goes there, people are ready, they know very well. Thank you very much. We appreciate that as a community. Over to you.
Chair and honourable members, good afternoon. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And yes, thank you. The printers are already on the ground communicating. I'm glad that my team is here for themselves, that the portfolio committee would like to keep an eye on the progress, and that we must circulate the program to the committee. The good thing is that there is excitement from the provinces themselves, and they're taking this quite seriously. The side effect of our tenants to be able to lodge their claims in the mobile office will happen on the 25th of this month on Saturday. The Premier of the Free State in Kwakwa will be there to observe that happening. So it's an exciting opportunity for us, and like you said, it's really for us about service delivery, ensuring that we carry out the mandate that we give it to us. I'll then proceed to my presentation. As we all are aware, the Commission has to submit a comprehensive standalone strategy plan for 2015 to 2020, and our APP for 2015 and 16. And we're doing this for the first time. I remember in the past we were doing it in conjunction with the department. And this is in line with the move towards autonomy, as directed and as well as recommended by the CME in the strategic evaluation that we conducted for us in 2014. And the strategic goals and objectives echo the goals and objectives of the department, and especially because the Commission still forms part of the budget structure of the department, part of Program 4, and as part of the department structure plan. documents are in line with the prescripts of the National Treasury, and it follows A. Part A is the strategic overview. Part B is the strategic objective. C is the link to other plans, as well as our annual performance plan for 2015 and 16 is already mentioned. And then we then show in the annual plan our annual targets for strategic objectives, the performance indicators, and the annual targets per objective. We identify the quarterly targets for 2015-16 and the reconciliation of the performance targets against the budget and NTF and the technical indicators question. So if we go to part one, which is the strategy overview, we talk to the vision and mission and the values and the legislative and constitutional imperatives that guide us, as well as the policy mandates that are aligned to the NDC, MCSF, MCAF, and the mandates of the department as a whole. We speak to the situational analysis that has been taken from all various studies that have been conducted relating to the commission, which is a regulatory impact professional study, which was done when we were about to reopen. The DPME implementation evaluation, which is a report, was presented already last year. The expenditure and performance review, which was done by the National Treasury on the Commission. And also the report, which was done by the Human Rights Commission on the work of the Commission. We look at the performance environment, service delivery and the finances. We look at service delivery challenges, organizational environment, and the organizational development environment. As a commission, we have adopted the McKinsey 7S framework as a management tool for us to be able to achieve our goals. And so I'll just quickly go through that. It's got the structure, we start with the strategy, the structure, systems, the style, look at the staff, the skills, and in the middle we've got the shared values. So in terms of the strategy, and remember that we're implementing this to deal with the findings that came from the various studies that we spoke to. In terms of the strategy, we have to be very clear about the mandate of the commission, because we know that in the past it's been clouded sometimes by matters that are beyond the legal mandate of the commission. And know that it becomes an issue, for example, when we talk to precepts and the post-setting issues, where does the work of the commission start and where does it finish? And when does the department and other branches in the department take over responsibility? And we have to look at what does the Act, the Constitution Act, define on the mandate of the commission to be, where does it end? So usually there are those issues that therefore create, for example, if you set up the CPA, whose responsibility then is this to ensure that the management of the CPA is continuous and they meet their yearly reporting and the like. It's a different branch of the department. But because claimants know the commission, when they've got issues and they need issues to be resolved and CPA is not being managed effectively, they want to come back to the commission. And the commission officials then have the pressure to deal with that, because at the end of the day, if we don't deal with it and no one else does, then it means that our work almost falls into a big virtue. So those are the things that I'm defining when I talk about the mandate, where it starts and where it ends. And the issue that we definitely have to look at is standardized business processes and the unclear delineation of roles and responsibilities again between the commission and the department. The structure, which is currently not necessarily aligned to our mandate, we need to definitely make sure that we deal with that. And the budget structure, make sure that the appropriate delegations are in place, delegations from the DG and from the minister, so that we're able to, on certain tasks, be able to do them directly without us having to go through the DG or the minister. For example, we've got delegation that allows me to sign the settlements that are below 50 million and anything about that, then the minister approves. And we have to look to make sure that we have business processes that are standardized. We're already working right now with the departmental, which is something we call our DPMO, which allows us to projectize the management of planting. So we just need to make sure that those systems speak to each other so that we've got an effective system. If we talk to the staff, we definitely are acknowledging that we've got inadequate communication and awareness raising, so that's why, for example, we can see us launching and unveiling the bus. That's part of our strategy to try and be out there so that people understand our mandate and we don't have the problem of a lot of people misinterpreting what we do and hearing from other sources about what we do, which is very often not correct. So it's important for us to make sure that we firm up that. And also we continue our close relationship between the department. That one is about the fact that the relationship between ourselves and the department has been so close to the extent that very often there was no clarity in terms of the separation of roles. Again, it goes to what I was talking to earlier, where we don't know where the work of the commission ends and where that of the department starts. And that the commission needs to be definitely more visible in carrying out its mandate. In terms of our staff, we have to improve coordination and integration in the planning and communication between all our stakeholders. We need a competent and dedicated human resource capacity to be established so that we improve performance management systems in place. Additional staff capacity is definitely required for the new plan. That's a process that is already underway, but of course we'll adjust depending on in terms of how we progress with the new claims and the old claims. We have to also deal with the high staff turnover and also deal with any adequate research capacity. As already mentioned in the previous year, we already are engaging the university to make sure that we ramp up our capacity in terms of the research, especially so that when we do the new claims, we don't deal with the same problems. So lessons learned. Again, we spoke to the issues around the field and the poor research skills that was raised. Training in terms of how the new claims are going to be processed is also required. These are the issues that came up in the various studies that I spoke about today. The findings have been collected in the books, as you've heard me talk about. The strategic outcomes orientated goals, goal number one is the land rights restored in order to support the land reform and agrarian transformation by 2020. And the statement is the restoration of land rights or equitable reference for those who have progressed. And also prioritization of claims lodged before the cut-off date of 1998. Strategic goal number two is the lodgement of the traditional land rights reopened for people who missed the deadline. And the goal statement there is to solicit receive claims for restitution by the cut-off date, the new cut-off date of the date of June 2019. Goal number three is the organizational change management and to improve corporate governance service excellence through operationalization of the autonomy of the commission, strengthening the legal framework, and improve the business information and communication of the commission. The part of the strategic objectives will split between business as usual and business unusual. And if we talk to the business as usual, we'll talk about that land rights restored is the first one. And facilitate the resolution, we've already spoken about that. And the baseline is the 270 cases that are settled and 292 finalized in 2013-14. And in line with the goals and mandates of the department. The second one is about the redress of the land rights lost after 1913, and so then we have solicited to receive the new claims before the cut-off date. And the baseline there is again, it started to go number five of the department. This is unusual. It is objective number five, which is care organizational mandate and business processes supported by the relevant resources, and therefore operational processes defined and implemented effectively. Our baseline is the number of standard operating procedures that are approved. Definitely, we want to make sure we increase productivity and accountability, and that's linked to goal one. And the external one would be improved information and project management. Statement would be that the claim management is done electronically and information is produced. And we would have to have our baseline is the time that we take to resolve claims. This objective will improve the accountability, reporting, and responsiveness, and promote service delivery, and will speed up settlement claims and in line with the goal five of the department. And improve governance and service delivery. The statement there is organizational change management, which I spoke about already. And our baseline is the number of audits, findings and performance audits. And this objective will contribute to the dedicated, loyal, result-oriented, professional and people-focused workforce linked to strategic goal number one department. And the next one is improved customer satisfaction and communication. And that we can make sure that communication on performance and sales are properly communicated. We have to make sure that we base it on the number of communication initiatives that we continue to carry out. And this is to promote openness and transparency, and leads to strategy goal number one of the department. Just to talk about the resource considerations, the cost drivers for the commission are definitely the settlement of claims that are launched before 1998, cut-off date, and the finalization of the same claims. It's the clearing of the commitment register, and when we say commitment register, we speak to finalizing the claims that are settled, that have, where are yet to be finalized. We have to consider, of course, the claims that would come in as a result of the reopening. The settlement of those claims once in fact the whole process of settling the new claims, and the bulk of the finalization of the new claims will likely start after the strategic period, but it doesn't say that we don't start working on the claims. For example, if you had I think yesterday or the day before, we did indicate that at this point in time we've got about 4,000-5,000 claims that we've seen. And we cannot guarantee that those are all registered claims, so it's going to be very critical that we begin to vet so that we are able to then focus on dealing with the claims that are registered as opposed to just the claims that have been received. I know that people won't believe us when we say that, but people will come and say that they want to claim their cabinets that were broken at a certain point in time, and we try and tell them that that's not a claim. And they insist that they want to claim their cabinet. So we've got those things, and of course we've got issues around people who want to claim before 1913. Those are the issues that we also have to take into account. But we're focusing on the after 1913, and those who didn't claim. We also have to make sure that we implement our improvement plan. Francis, can you just get to the resource control? Consideration. I don't know whether you will see if you could see. Chair Francis is the director of finance in the commission. I'd just like to speak to my usual and then I'll proceed to that.
Good day, all. For the current financial year 2015-2016, the institution received 2.6 billion rand in total. Our original allocation in terms of compensation of employees was only 247 million rand. And with the additional lodgement staff as well as critical posts for senior managers and legal staff, we reprioritized within our budget and took money from capital transfers from the household budget to fund that additional lodgement post to give us a total allocation of 312 million rand for COE. In terms of goods and services, we received 133 million rand, of which we also reprioritized funding for a total of 168 million rand. You will see then that the capital transfers, which is the money we pay the household budgets from, reduced with 116 million rand to give you 2.1 million. So in total, we are still on 2.6 million, but the capital transfers were reduced and reprioritized to the COE and business services. Then for the outer years, in 2016-17, we had 3.2 billion rand, and then for 2017-2018, it is then 3.4 billion rand. And that gives us quite an increase from 2.2 billion to towards settling claims to 2.7 billion settling claims in the outer financial year.
Have to improve on our research. standardization of processes and workflows and decision making to be centralized or standardized so that you're able to manage those risks. The other issue is the finalization of the transfer of or migration of information from land-based from Sabawutu and to the ETM office process that we're working on now, and to ensure that the IT system supports information management and project implementation. We also are definitely improving our process mapping so that we're able to shorten the amount of time in terms of the settlement of the claims, because the process of the claims finding can be managed through the ETMO process. Make sure that we comply with our checklist for quality assurance. We've got quality assurance in all of the provinces and in our national office to ensure that whatever documents or interviews that get out are quality assurance. And human resources, again, it's about not enough human resources. That we're working on through developing our organogram and getting professionals to assist us with the proper structures. Process risk would be the overlap of land claims. And again, the business plans and standard of operating procedures would assist us to be able to claim that up and be able to have a clear time frame. If we were to look at the political and reputational risk, on the reputational risk would be the link that can be highlighted as a result of possible delays in the settlement of claims. And we continue to host statutory commission meetings and we make sure that we continue to ramp up our communication so that we are able to mitigate that. And make sure that our internal processes in terms of how we move with certain of the claims are standardized so that we're able to mitigate by meeting our targets. And the other one, of course, is the communication risk that we've spoken about. We have a core team of executive managers who are leading to ensure that we ramp up our communication. And also, we have human resource and financial resource management interest, and interest so that we're able to implement. The other links the party usually asks us to highlight which other things are linked, so that we're aligned to the MPSS and are aligned to the department strategic plan. And I'll just quickly go to our performance for year 2015-16. And our strategic objective statement is to facilitate the restoration of land rights or alternative forms of equitable redress by 2020. And we have focused on the number of land claims settled, and target for 2015-16 is 4-3. Number of land claims finalized. Target is 373. Phase project, and you know, remember we said phase project speaks to claims that have more than, for example, 1 year right, and therefore you set, you negotiate with different farmers at different stages, and those are the projects that you're researching. Number of land claims lodged to the research, those are still the 1998 ones, and you can see that beginning to ramp up the research so that we're able to meet and finalize research. So it's 2,650 that we're going to be researching this year. And a number of lodgement offices operational. We already have the 14 that are operational with the mobile. And this year the target is to ensure that those two 4x4 all-terrain are functional. In addition to the four that are already out. And those are just the specific targets that speak to the previous slide. And that is it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The members who have been listening to the presentation. Can we talk to the presentation?
want to know where the conclusion for this is. In your findings, you mentioned the performance management system and that links to your body for actual performance for 2013-2014 financial year. In one of your human resources in the development of organogram, where do you leave your budget if your organogram is not in the course supposed to change?
You see, welcome to the nation. Something that concerns me here about the commission, when the whole idea of new plates was presented to us last year, so many of us asked the question or questions around capacity and ability to handle them, with particular reference to two aspects, that is human resources as well as budget. The overall response that was presented to us by the department was that they were ready and able to handle this. But now, a couple of months later, there's more detailed information about how the commission is still and will in the future continue to be challenged, particularly on these two fronts. Can we get, you know, some comprehensive explanation, you know, as to how they are going to handle this and when they hope to overcome, particularly the issue around the human capacity? Of particular concern to me is the use of the term in page 16, ineffectual human resource. Now, that's worrisome. If you've got a team of people who are on the department's payroll and they are said to be ineffectual, how did they get placed there if they are ineffectual at this point in time? Because that is the most important resource, more than budget, more than anything else. Once you've got a team of ineffectual, you know, people, then we have, as a committee, a reason to ask and get some specific answers as to how these people happen to be placed there if they are ineffectual. Then page 16 again, communication risk. The very reason why we are having a second round on the youth that can place 1998 and then 2014 reopened is because there was ineffective, or shall I say insufficient, communication, you know, to the nation and potential claimants of the fact that here is an opportunity for you to claim, and people came back and said, we didn't get the information. We missed, that's why and how it came about that we missed the date. Now, if we're still carrying, you know, the same risk today, you know, of poor communication, can we get some specific answer as to how and when does the commission hope to reach a stage where it will be able to say we have covered every corner of South Africa during this MTF period? You could give us a date 18 months from now, but let's just work on a date when we will be able to say the commission has covered every corner of South Africa. Everybody who had any interest in this does know that there is this opportunity, so that there will be no need for a third round, so to speak. So my questions are around those issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So for example, if I've got a land and then I'm the breadwinner, it is my fault, and then maybe my brother following me also claim the same land. How do you identify? Because those things have been happening in some areas. So I want to know, how do you identify that? Because you find that two families have been paid for one land. So how did you capture that thing? How did you identify this thing?
Cases are with the SIU, because it's not just the commission, there are branches of the department.
going to assist us to be able to concretize our organogram. And when we talk to concretizing organogram, we're not saying we don't have it. We're saying that if you look at the studies, the four studies that we spoke about earlier, there are certain things that came out in those studies that are saying you have this thing, but you have to firm up on something. And one of those things is our organogram. And the question is, does the organogram that we have speak to what we want to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're looking at. We're reviewing. So it's sort of like a cleanup to say, with the lessons that we've learned in the past in terms of how the commission has designed its work, there are certain things that we'd like to change so that we're more efficient in how we do our work. And as a result, there might be a requirement to change a few things. So that's what we mean when we say dealing with the organogram. It's really about the fact that when we talk about autonomy, we're talking about review, but at the same time, making sure that the autonomy is practically implementable, so that we're able to define our role versus the role of the department, both in terms of the processing of the claims, but also in terms of the back office support. So that is very important. So then it goes then again to the issues of the capacity. The risk that we talk about around the capacity in a sexual human resource specifically is related to the studies that came last year that spoke to what we've already acknowledged is our weakness in research. We've acknowledged it, we've said that the reason in the past there were problems with some of the claims was the standard of research, and therefore the standard of research relates very closely to the capacity of the human resource. So that is what we're acknowledging, but we're not acknowledging it, just acknowledging. We're already working on it. Like I said, we've got a training set up, we are working with universities, and we're acknowledging, for example, that if you look at how the commission operates, the people who did the research are junior staff who don't have background in research. And so if we don't deal with that, then we are likely to find ourselves in the same situation. So it's important for us to then put that up at the forefront so that we deal with it and we don't put it under the carpet and pretend that it's not an issue. But it's acknowledged and it's being dealt with. So we're not saying that all of our staff is not effective. It's just the capacity and the level sometimes of education of the staff that we give a very important responsibility, which is that is research. So we're wanting to elevate, we're working with the University of Pretoria towards some type of training program to ensure that our researchers achieve have some type of education around how to do research. And then the issue around whether we've got a budget, I think that if you saw the slides that speak to the resource conservation, we are saying that in terms of the settling of the current change, we've got the budget allocated to pay it for us to settle the change. And in terms of the new change, you see, when you settle a change, it doesn't mean that you need, for example, the RIA, which is an independent assessment, which is not done by the department. It's an independent third party who looked at the history and they've done their numbers and they've said, this is what we anticipate as the funds that we require. They say 179 billion. It could be right, it could be completely wrong. It's their own analysis of the situation. But it is not a situation where we're saying, in order for us to be able to set change, we need 179 billion now. If we were to get 179 billion now, we wouldn't be able to spend that because we need to process a claim, and it takes various things for us to be able to get to that point where we say we now need the money for us to be able to buy. The important thing that we need to do is to process the claim, to do the research, to negotiate verification. That is the budget, which is the goods and services that will require for us to process it. That we've got because that's what we're working on. And negotiate to do the retention of who is the people who are claiming. So it's like the Treasury has said to us, we've noted the new mandate of the Commission, and we will then fund the mandate accordingly in the normal way of how the system funds any project, whether it was RCC houses or the like. So what is important is for us to continue to engage with Treasury as we move along year to year, that we're able to say this is how far we are now with the new claims, and therefore these are the type of funds we will need in terms of adjustment, reprioritization and allocation and the like. So it's important for us to say that we don't want the 1.9 billion. We don't want it because right now we've got enough money to be able to facilitate several of the claims that are in front of us. And when we are ready to then say, now we've received the claims, the new claims, and we are now processing them, this is the type of money that we will need. And then the other issue then would be, so we still say that as a commission, we are continuing to take the importance of services, and we are continuing to engage Treasury on the outer years, as Francis has already mentioned, in terms of what else we would need to ramp up the process. I'd like perhaps Michael, who's responsible for the Western Cape province, to just give you an idea of the work that we're already doing around communication with the provinces, especially using also the mobile units, and also that issue that was highlighted around communication with the municipality.
Thank you, Sylvie, Chairperson, honourable members. I can speak for my office, I think there's a range of areas in which we communication is probably the most important aspect in preparing the ground for getting decent claims lodged. Because otherwise, you get claims, you know, I had a house in Goodwood, which doesn't help you. You need to get specifics in relation to these kinds of things. So, in terms of our stakeholder engagement plan, we have gotten, I may send you so that you can see for yourself the kind of detail that we have in our stakeholder engagement plan, where we have identified all the spheres of government and all the areas where we need to actually engage intensively to brief people about what the restitution program is, and also to brief people about the reopening process, which is a very fundamental aspect of that. But it's not only the reopening process, because there are lots of claims all over the province which have not yet been settled. We have a remaining 1,000 claims that have not been settled yet in the Western Cape. Now you can imagine, those people have been waiting for 19 years. The queue has been extremely long. And that's the reason for the 19 years, is the fact that you can't settle everything at once in one go. So these are the people who've been right at the back of the queue. They are angry, they are upset, some of them are elderly, some of them are sickly. You can imagine the level of emotion that is engaged. I'm sure I don't have to tell you this, you know this. And so it is something that is vitally important. For those people who have still got outstanding claims, on a 6-monthly basis, we write them a letter saying where their claim is in the process and what has been happening. So there is firstly written communication. Sometimes that's problematic because the addresses have changed. In Germany, we have not been informed, and so we then have to go through a process trying to find those people. We also do a lot of work in relation to municipalities and inform, because we don't own land, so we have to get land where we can, and those are usually from national departments. So we have national department engagements, the Department of Public Works, provincial departments, in this case it was the Department of Transport and Public Works, the city. These are all landholding entities that we need to engage with on a regular basis. And that's the one sphere. On the municipality level, often one is talking about municipal land that is or could be made available. Sometimes I mean, a whole range of, we've identified a very vast range of organizations, and we feel a very comprehensive range of organizations. So on a yearly basis, and with certain levels of interaction, we engage with them. And we try to engage, if we possibly can, personally, by having meetings, going to the areas, and speaking to people and meeting with them, and establishing good relations with those. In relation to the new claims, I think we've had a fair amount of publicity, below the line of publicity rather than what we paid for, because just because of the newsworthiness of the fact that there is an open claims process. And this is something that people have been clamoring for years. We couldn't go through a day before without people phoning to say, how come they were left out and they didn't know about it? And now the claims process. Now the challenge for us is to ensure that everybody is made aware, as you know, Madam Chairperson, you made clear, we need everybody to be aware of this. We cannot go through a process again with people saying at the end of it that they didn't know about it. So we have a very important task. I don't know if this is flashing because I'm talking too long. It is a subtle hint, man. So the task at the moment is to firstly deal with hotspots, areas where we know that people felt very aggrieved, particularly communities, felt particularly aggrieved and not being processed previously. Sometimes there were even occasions when apparently people did lodge, but the claim forms got lost. Those are particularly hotspot situations. We have to deal with those very urgently and immediately. So we've identified on a map and we've plotted where exactly these hotspots are, and the sprinter and the bus, which will be, the sprinter will be followed by the bus, will go to those areas first. First and foremost, the areas that we know are explosive, those are the areas that we're going to go to first. Now what we do is that we send the sprinter in to do an education process. And the education process is about the fact that the claim would be reopened and what kind of documentation, what kind of support documentation a claimant can bring with them to make sure that their claim is going to be able to be settled as quickly as possible. And we say to people, you've got a trunk under your bed, you know. You've got a trunk under your bed that you haven't opened for many years, but your parents used to keep all their documents in that trunk. If you look through that trunk, you will find wedding pictures outside your house. You will find, I mean, all of those things are very important. You will find school certificates. You will find reports with the address on it. You will find all that kind of thing. And they go, they scratch, they come back. Guess what? You now have a claim that is really well documented. Instead of, I know my father used to live in Goodwood. That doesn't know. It really doesn't know. That's going to take another 19 years to solve. But if you come with real, decent documentation, and we tell them, we show them what kind of documentation helps, whether it's a school report, whether it's a wedding picture, whether it's an invitation, whether it's a letter that is written to that particular address, this ties them to the left. And in those boxes under the bed, they will find it. And they do. And so that process of just educating people on how to lodge. Because obviously this time round, we've got professionals who are going to be assisting people. Every claim is going to have a professional sitting behind the screen lodging the claim electronically. So we won't just have these handwritten Romeo's sheets that have completely conflicting information on it. So thank you very much.
You can see that on the issue of whether I was able to make sure that communicated with each and every potential claimant, we have definitely put that at the center of our work. That's why we've got the 4 mobile buses, we've got the 9 communication sprinters, we've got the two 4x4 terrains, which will be able to go into areas where there is no road. Our strategy is to say that we want to broaden our footprint, so that communities don't come to us or don't have the pressure to spend money to come to us, but that we go to them. And that's why we're saying that the five-year care process. We've got GCIS on board who are helping us communicate. You start to see us ramping up communication, and it's not driven in the national space, but it's driven by the province. That's why I wanted Michael, as the head of the Western Cape, to actually give an example of the work that is already happening in the province around making sure that we speak loud on claims. On the issue of overlapping claims, again, the research becomes the foundation of any claim that you work on. The research is going to be able to tell you exactly who lost the right to land there. That's why the basic funding of documents become critical. Sometimes, I mean, you will have rogue individuals who try pulling wool in our eyes, but that's why then there's an opportunity for the candidate to actually take us to court so that the court can make a determination on those issues. In terms of who we report to, we report to the minister. That's what the Restitution Act says. We report directly to the minister, and that's why we're saying on the issue of the autonomy, we need to now make it practical because that has not been clear. It has clouded the relationship between ourselves and the department. And so we want to concretize it, make sure that we've got the necessary support for us to be able to say that we're autonomous. Currently, we've got three commissioners, that is myself, the deputy land claim commissioner, and the regional land claim commissioner, supported by nine chief directors who lead the province. And then the nine chief directors are permanent staff in the department. The commissioners are supposed to be on contract. I don't know, I think Sammy is not on contract because he was a staff before. And then and everybody else is a full-time public servant who is supporting the commission to carry out this mandate.
Are there any follow-up questions on the response from your question? The follow-up.
In my other life, I worked as a researcher for the commission. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm serious. This is that I would find very useful in the book as part of the education, like. The document that people sign when there is no water. That this is to certify that the child will inherit two cats and one dog. And this way you must add this one. And that information becomes, you know, something that you can use for to verify issues. And others would be, people are very sentimental when it comes to weddings and deaths and mess. The funeral program. There's somebody who was supposed to say funeral program. That looks brown. I'm told it used to be white some 8 years ago. But that funeral program actually showed that this person was buried on this farm. So you don't have to pick up the corpses with DNA tests. Unless if somebody says, no, but this program is not your great grandmother's program. But anyway, funeral, there'll be more than one person who goes to a funeral. You actually need about six people to carry a coffin. So there will definitely be more than six people and I don't find this. So those are things that can be very much helpful about them, you know. You mentioned waiting for those and all. But I mean, just another little comment about what happened yesterday, 4 years ago with the open. It shows really serious commitment, not only with, you know, policies and following the political directive that comes from the political head of the department. But again, it shows your commitment by physically, you know, committing human resources and even committing, you know, finances to the implementation of this program. There's no any other level of commitment that can demonstrate. There's no any other thing that can demonstrate your commitment to that. And we
whether the FCC is familiar with the circumstances of the chief who passed away in time, which, and whether you can perhaps give us a paragraph on that. It doesn't have to be now, so that we can jump in. One more that one. Two, I'm not sure on the research. I do know a case that I know very closely. It's not a case because it's not been taken up, but where there will be nothing to show, but where there will also be no dispute about a relocation in the former contract. Where there will be no dispute, no one will ever query that such and such a family, my own family, came from there. I don't think there will be one under the flag. But there will definitely be no document where I'm the elder. But the colleagues would know for something of the thing. The last one, Chair, I keep emphasizing to the department, to the ICB, and now to the Commission. I suppose the CXC yourself, if you will not sue me for my last sentence, I will say you non-financial, and therefore refer myself, if you accept, to the Director of Finance. That presentation, perhaps let's work it out nicely in a format that would, because our duty is to keep you accountable, and therefore through also certain financial tasks that we have got to perform. As it stands, we know we can't easily direct and commission the whole defense. We can't easily conduct oversight over you. We don't know what will be on quarter one. We don't know what will be on quarter two. We don't know what will be on quarter three, quarter four, and so forth. And so the format, you will then have to familiarize yourselves with the format from Treasury and the one on the board there. The another one. Is that page 42? On page 14. Yeah. But maybe, like Chair guides me, maybe page 20 is adequate. I don't know. I have really looked at, you see, this is about looking at documents now. I looked at page 14 and I thought that the financial oversight aspect of our work. But I see the page 20 somewhat is closer. So I may be soft on my last point. I may be soft depending on whether page 20 is really close to what I was thinking. Thanks.
Thank you, Wilson. I think the concern from the Wilson is that on page 20, there are certain italics. And in most cases, I think he was looking at a quarter italics, so that we know very well that if on the first quarter you are going to finalize 74 things, how much are you going to? Second quarter, how much I go to spend, so that because we are not only monitoring the performance but also the financial performance, so that we ensure that you spend according to your plans, to avoid overspending, underspending, requirements, all those things that the government aims against.
Thank you, Chair. My understanding, shall I say assumption, is that you're moving, sort of fast-tracking the process of delineating from the department so that you can be more effective. Have you set any target to say, by some such a financial year, we should be totally delineated from the department? The reason why we're asking these questions is because we want more land to be transferred to the rightful owners sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you very much, President. That was the last question. In our operational plan, we actually have set out a full plan on how we're going to implement our autonomy. important for us to mention that the reason the claim was gazetted was because it was an order of court. Our initial position was that there was no claim that was lodged of that nature, but the court decided that if there's 1% of the list that the claim was lodged, then it was gazetted. So we were complying with the court's order, and again I say that it doesn't mean that the claim is valid because we still have to do work to conserve the list of the claim. And furthermore, that the chief was claiming on behalf of the community, and so even if they have assassinated him, if so, allegedly, the process continues. We were given until June to finalize the process around getting relevant information, putting it out in public. I know that the newspaper in Victoria likes the story and the sharing, and we keep trying to write to them so that we allay the fears, but they keep writing it the way they are. But we are very mindful of the fact that we are not going to be civilized in Victoria, but that we are just complying with the court order. And we will comply with the recommendations on the court's decision in the findings, but we will be requested.
In terms of autonomy, we are moving very quickly towards being electronically autonomous, as well as autonomy in terms of the commission away from the department. The problem with that's one of the risks that we mentioned earlier about the HR structure is the fact that there's a lot of services in the department, and especially at our regional offices, we are serviced by shared service centers. We do not have the capacity to take over all administrative functions of the department. But in terms of restitution functions, we are really moving very quickly to become autonomous. We will probably be still dependent through service level agreements with the department to service us administratively. But we believe in terms of restitution, by 12 or 18 months we will be able to move out, but administratively it will take longer because it has a capacity and resource implication which we need to look at.
Thank you. On this document, they're talking of developing the communication strategy. But there's one document that we are coming to you. It's not the way the strategy to communicate with the people, because using the printer is one way of improving the communication. You know, using registration, you know, newspapers to advertise, you know, it's one, also the other ways of communication. But if you're saying you're still developing the communication strategy, while we've already started to communicate with the community, I think it needs to be just clarified. Then the other one, while you're presenting the finances, somewhere there was a minus where you said chunk of the money that was taken to goods and services, and also to the compensation of employees, if I'm not mistaken. Can you unpack that so that we understand clearly that minus 58, what is happening there? Then the other one, on the issue of I think the issue of the organogram has been covered, because if you are going to be autonomous, then you need your own self-establishment so that you can be able to execute your mandate. But when looking at the existing one at the director level, why you need that to keep charters and whatever, so they are not part of the existing
must be able to be in line with the mandate that you have as a commission.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the communication strategy, we already have a full-fledged communication strategy, and we are implementing sub-items of the communication strategy, for example, the mobile, the citizen's manual, and the aspects are part of the strategy. We've contributed the budget to GIS with clear communication plans also for them to help us roll out in the media, television, and the like. So it's not a communication strategy that we're creating, it's one that's already there, that exists, that's available, including the whole, what's it called? The folder that you saw the day before yesterday, that's also part of the communication that is already ongoing in the province. And as you said, the sprinters have been on the ground now for probably 2 months or more, and they're already communicating. So it's something that's there. Thank you for you. Speak to the recurrent position and the communication.
The regional allocation was the indicative figures that we received from Treasury. After our inputs towards the E&E, we requested to reprioritize funds to the compensation of employees and goods and services. Due to cuts in government, they did reduce our budget in terms of COE. We requested an additional 34 million rand compensation of employees. I apologize. yes, financial terms. then the final allocation that we received through the E&E was, so the funds were reduced with that 58 million rand. It's so the regional allocation was what the indicative figures that we received in the NTF. Then we requested reprioritization. Treasury did reduce the budget of the department, especially compensation of employees, with 144 million rand. And then the final allocation that was presented to us through the E&E was the 2.602.
The absence of comments and questions, let me then take this opportunity to thank the Chief and Claims Commissioner. For the presentation that they made to the committee, they have realized that really the progress is not totally, but there's more that we are expecting as you are presenting this annual performance plan. As the committee, to be our responsibility to oversight on a quarterly basis whether are you able to implement the plan that you have presented. You've made a commitment that based on the plan that you presented, there are resources available. So we don't expect any variances that will say there are no financial, due to the financial constraints or human, you know, constantly were unable to reach the target, because you indicated clearly that based on what we have planned, you have got the resources for that. So each and every year we plan accordingly, so that we are being allocated according to the plan to avoid the understanding rollover and whatever. Then the other thing, there's a register that must be submitted to the committee. On the current cases that are in court, and also on the issue of the suspension,
today I received an invitation from the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. They are having a strategy planning workshop from tomorrow till the 19th of April. It reads as follows. The Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries will be holding its strategy planning workshop from the 17th to the 19th April 2015. The objective of the workshop is for the committee to develop its 5-year strategic plan in line with the Fifth Parliament's objectives and pronouncements and policy decisions that were made by the President. Government priorities and sector-specific priorities for the 5-year term in ensuring that the committee executes its legislative mandate to hold the executive into account effectively and vigorously. An annual performance plan and a structured oversight plan that will be reviewed annually will also be developed through the process.
I think here's the invitation, my concern is that the invitation was received today. It's impossible to invite members to the strategy plan that will be taking place tomorrow. Members have got family commitments, they're supposed to be away, maybe some days before so that they make proper arrangements, but members that will be available can attend the strategic plan of the Department of Agriculture.
I would suggest that the Secretary checks with the Administration on Agriculture, because my understanding is that that test deadline has been postponed, possibly to next weekend, long weekend. I was with them on Tuesday, and that's what we were told. It's just check. I'm amazed that we only got it today, for they will come back to say that it's on.
It's happening. They are leaving it this afternoon to Ocean Prince Hotel, 18 Beach Road, Strand Cape.
Members do not need to discuss the invitation, and I tell you that members will decide those who are available will attend, but it's unfortunate because we want to work with other committees. So if we receive the invite late, then it's impossible for us to attend. We will come with the apologies of members that will not be able to attend due to the late invite that was circulated to members. Moreover, there's confusion because other members were sitting in that committee. They were informed that the workshop has been postponed. Then for the later, the other committee for the later, that the workshop is continuing. So we don't want to be part of that confusion.
Hello.
Finally, I see the face.
Oh.
Have we spoken before?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Cape Town staff and sort ourselves. We don't see each other.
Yeah. No, as I saw your name, then I said, oh, this is precious.
Okay, so we know the names, but we don't know the faces.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am very
busy.
I was looking at it. Oh, my father met today.
Yeah.